Eric mentioned just before. So if you could just advance to the next slide. There was an RFI, or request for information, that was published in late October related to this executive order that we've been talking about, that Federal Register notice is included in the materials for this meeting as document 7A, and that's behind tab number one under the first section of the materials. There's a link if you want to just click on it directly. And I think folks at this point are pretty familiar what this order is stating and what the goals are. And with this executive order, the federal agencies working on this or tasked with this have also developed kind of a preliminary report or guidance called Conserving and Restoring America the Beautiful. And as Eric mentioned, Sam Rauch has already come to the council and outlined this for us at a previous council meeting earlier this year. But here is the link if you want to kind of go through that report in more detail. So right now, this RFI is out looking for initial input by the end of December. And to be clear, this is a NOAA-only request for information. So NOAA has kind of gone out on their own ahead to gather this preliminary information. Maybe other RFIs and similar notices are going to come out later, and we'll just keep tabs on that and see if it makes sense for the council to continue to engage. But the thinking here, if you go to the next slide, please, is this issue came up with the executive committee at their previous meeting in mid-November, and they requested that staff draft a comment letter for your review, which has been included as document 7B. In the same place in your materials. And it's a pretty long letter, but the RFI did include specific questions. So the direction from the executive committee was to, when we could, think of responses for all of the different questions in the RFI. So very briefly, it's a 6-page letter, a lot of information to absorb. Generally, the outline of the letter, we have a first page giving the background, really emphasizing the important role that the councils should be playing in this initiative. That was called out right in the executive order itself, kind of noting the regional councils as an important partner and person to, but body to consult with through this process. And then we also have a paragraph explaining the CCC efforts collectively across all the councils and the work that Eric just described in the previous presentation. So a lot of background, just alerting NOAA to the work that the council's engaged in. The next page, we have summarized what we're kind of calling high-level comments, not specific to the actual questions of the RFI, but kind of the bigger themes that have been coming up in some of these early subcommittee conversations, as well as when this council has talked with or discussed 30 by 30 so far. So we tried to summarize those and boil them down to 4. Right now. And I'll walk through those a little bit. And then the rest of the comment letter really is responding to the specific questions of the RFI. And at the time of day that we're at right now, I do have a slide per response following these. I maybe won't go through all of them, but hopefully you've had some of this material for a little bit and have had an opportunity to skim through the letter. It's not too controversial, really, or anything you wouldn't expect. Pretty general input at this early stage. You know, we still are pretty early along in this process. We do have a note in the letter also to NOAA that, you know, these are initial comments really from this council. There's still a lot of work going on, as you heard from Eric. We're making great progress through the subcommittee, but a lot more, you know, concrete things will be coming when the final report is presented to the CCC, and maybe the CCC will be making decisions later about how they may also get engaged and comment in this process. So the next slide gets to the high-level comments, and there's really 4 of them. And the first point that we're trying to convey to NOAA kind of upfront in this letter is that area-based management, of course, is very important. We use it quite a bit in the New England region successfully, but it's really just one tool in the toolbox, right? And there's all these other combinations of measures that we use that kind of help build into an overall goal of conservation and management of fisheries resources. In addition to that, NOAA also is a very active participant as a consulting agency. So it's not just the measures themselves, but also in their consulting role. So we're highlighting that this kind of holistic approach is what's needed to really get the job done, not just area management. The second bullet here is about, you know, what does conservation mean? We do have some recommendations. As you heard from Eric, we are working on a draft definition. We're hoping the agency thinks about, you know, keeping a broad definition. It should not be required to be a no-take fishing zone. So we're trying to make that point pretty strongly and emphasizing that, you know, well-regulated fishing can still be and is consistent with the goals of the America the Beautiful report that's outlined, and those same goals do fit with well-regulated limits. The third point is kind of a let's be realistic as well, and that all spaces, land and water, have some level of activity, and we expect that to even increase moving forward with additional pressures like we just heard about today with offshore wind, as well as aquaculture and other uses. So increased competition as we move forward with this initiative, needing to think about, you know, these holistic plans, but being balanced with all of these you know, different needs and being realistic at the end of the day about what can work. And finally, the last high level point, a very important part of this process will be developing this atlas with all the different federal partners. And as it's developed through the process, being clear and transparent that, you know, once things are on this list, being clear that that doesn't mean they're there forever and they cannot be modified. And the agency should be very upfront about that and recognize that fisheries conservation by nature needs to be adaptive. It can't be permanent. It can't be static, especially in the light of climate change effects. It needs to be able to adjust. So those are the high level comments summarized at the beginning of the letter. The next page, next slide, thank you, gets into the first question. This is where so far the draft letter has taken the longest and most amount of time getting into. This is probably the only one I'll spend a lot of time on here now. And that's really just going through the different authorities that NOAA has already related to this initiative. And the letter right now is pretty clear that the Magnuson-Stevens Act is the primary law used to do these things already and has been for decades. The 10 national standards are very consistent with the core principles of this initiative, and it specifically calls out that essential fish habitat provisions, in addition to the national standards, provide for these additional authorities for NOAA to have these consultation processes and important recommendations that they make to other federal and state agencies. So the letter tries to kind of elevate and identify the Magnuson Act as the primary tool, and then also give some time to point out the other authorities that exist, and they're here on the screen. And again, emphasizing this point about consultations and the importance of that. And finally, ending with, we take any opportunity we can, it seems, to point out with the Antiquities Act, our council has written several letters already about the fact that, you know, this council does not believe this is the most appropriate way through the Antiquities Act, the appropriate use of that authority to implement fisheries management areas. And instead, the Magnuson Act would be a more consistent way to do that, more transparent, more locally led, et cetera. So this letter does kind of make that point again. So this is the first response, general summary of what's in the letter. The next ones are more brief. The next slide gets into number two. And if you just advance it once more, thank you. You know, generally, this is very straightforward. Do you think NOAA should better apply, you know, its existing authorities? We're generally saying, yes, keep doing what you're doing through the Magnuson Act. Maybe there's even some room to expand with some of your consulting agency roles that you have. But in general, you know, we think this is going well, you know, keep at it type of thing. Question number three. This is the issue about criteria that came up before. As Eric mentioned, our subcommittee through the CCC is still working on what we're going to recommend as draft criteria. There isn't a lot of guidance provided yet about this, so we're kind of doing our best. I'm sorry, if you could advance to the next slide. This is about the criteria. And so our comments right now are pretty general, because I think later, you know, 3-4 months from now, when the CCC starts reviewing some of this information, we'll have much more specific things to share. But for now, the council so far in this letter believes that the criteria should be wide-ranging and recognizing all the different ecological services provided by the ocean, needing to recognize that sustainability, sustainable fishing practices can be in concert with some of these other conservation goals and part of the package to the greatest benefit to the nation. So these are the kind of points that are made for number three. Number four is the next slide. Thank you. Getting into, you know, what other sources of scientific information can the agency look to on this topic? And here the letter is trying to get across that there are a lot of uncertainties that are still out there, even though NOAA has so much data to work with compared to probably some of the other agencies that they'll be working with on this, that there is a lot of local knowledge from many of the ocean users that we work with through the council, and hopefully they can find ways to channel that and fill some of these gaps and incorporate this information as much as possible. Keeping track of the potential impacts of climate change on fishing communities is something the council's been talking about. And then finally, we make a note about the climate change scenario planning initiative that's also going on up and down the coast, and a lot of similar issues about you know, different data gaps and ways to incorporate information are likely to come up through that process. So we're just kind of noting that and encouraging NOAA to track that. And they are a partner on that initiative, so I'm sure that that will occur, but just highlighting it here again in the letter. Topic number five is the next slide, having to do with tracking actions. You know, once we get going with this atlas and how are we going to measure progress moving forward, the letter definitely recommending that a definition is critical, and hopefully that can occur earlier in this process. There is a requirement for an annual report, and we understand that NOAA is trying to get that together by the end of this calendar year. So describing this baseline and where we're starting at with the areas that we already have on the books is really important. And really defining metrics, we are likely going to be recommending maybe some specific ones through the CCC process and discussions. So we didn't really jump ahead and get too specific in the letter right now, except to say that we really encourage NOAA to work with their managing partners and end users to make sure that these metrics are useful and relevant for the work that other people are doing with these spaces. So there are some other comments in the letter, concerns maybe even to word it that way, that there are concerns that this type of an initiative could, you know, interfere potentially with how adaptive our management could be moving forward. And I made this point earlier in the overall comments, but again, we emphasize it here that things need to be flexible. I think I've made these points. So we can go to the next slide, number six. So, you know, what can NOAA specifically do to kind of get to more stakeholders and get people more involved? And in this section, we highlight that they are already, you know, the council is already set up to be a good, you know, avenue for that. It is a stakeholder-driven, you know, bottom-up process with lots of engagement. So any way that NOAA could continue to, you know, help support increased access to through the council system, but we do recognize that we don't reach everyone, and this is a much larger topic, and it will likely be necessary over the course of this initiative to have specific outreach opportunities beyond, you know, just through the council. We have some recommendations in there about trying to make this atlas, once it's up and running, user-friendly and definitely accessible, and taking the time, the extra time and investment to to make it that way so that it is something that, you know, the general public can use as well as, you know, the council, for example. And, you know, again, because this is considered to be at least a 10-year project with annual reports in between, that's a long time for someone to stay engaged. And so, you know, having outreach education programs in place to kind of mirror through all of those years will be important to keep that going. And finally, number seven, the next slide, thank you, is again, specific ideas about this similar idea of facilitating participation. And there have been listening sessions. They're probably going to need to be more than that, more specific things. We're recommending regular updates at council meetings about the Atlas, having opportunities for people to try it and see it and provide advice through the councils on a regular basis. There is a suggestion potentially for NOAA to consider having a specific advisory body for this initiative, you know, individuals that would be identified for a certain amount of time that could, you know, be at this advisory group that could be, you know, maybe meet a few times, come to with specific tasks and ideas for the development of this as it moves forward. There is one last question in the RFI about additional information beyond those specific 1 through 7 questions as a catch-all. We didn't draft anything for that yet, but if anything comes up in the conversation, if you have specific suggestions of things beyond what's there, we can include it in this last question of sort of additional information NOAA should consider. And finally, the next slide is my last slide. Right now, where we are is to look this letter over, see if you are comfortable with the high-level comments. Well, first decide if you agree that something should be sent. Do you agree with the high-level comments? Do you have specific feedback for all those different questions that I went through? Any additional information? And the council could consider a motion. Seems to be kind of the track of what you're up to today, writing letters. And this website here, I just wanted to leave you with, this is a NOAA-sponsored website that is very up to date and would include any kind of ongoing information about this initiative. So, you know, since it's not through the councils per se, although we have lots of links to this information as well, this would be a good website to track moving forward over the next 10 years. That's all I have. And if there's any specific questions about the letter in general, that's what it says.
Okay, Ms. Volpe, thank you very much. So out to the council, I mean, there's a lot here. If anybody has any specific comments on 1 through 7 or suggestions for item 8, we'd love to have them right now. So anybody from the council have any comments, any questions? Seeing none, anybody from the public want to comment or have a question here? Seeing none, back to the council. If nobody has any questions, I don't know if anyone from the council is willing to make this motion. Mr. Bellavance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to make a motion to get the conversation going, if possible. I think Joan's got it up on the board here. I move that the council approves the draft response to the request for information on NOAA's actions to advance the goals and recommendations in the report on conserving and restoring America the Beautiful.
Okay, needs a second. Mr. Papalardo, are you seconding this motion?
I am.
Thank you very much. Okay, any discussion on the motion from the council? Seeing none, anyone from the public? Seeing none, is there anyone opposed to this motion? Mr. Penny, are you opposed or are you abstaining?
Just abstaining, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Penny. Anyone else? Does anyone else choose to abstain? Seeing none, Motion passes unanimously with one abstention by Mr. Pentney. Ms. Polkey, we all set here?
Yes, until next time.
Okay, thank you, Dee. And I will say that Deirdre's been a great asset for the council. Mr. Smith, I'm just the referee, and the rest of the eight and the three invited guests have done a lot of work. So I appreciate your time today. And with that, we have reached the end of our agenda for today. So we are going to stand adjourned until tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and we're going to talk about sea turtles first thing. So everybody have a great night, and we'll see you in the morning.